Blog Talk Radio.
And days will come when you don't have the strength, when all you hear is you're not worth anything, wondering if you ever could be loved, and if they truly saw your heart, they'd see too much. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You are made for so much more than all of this. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You are treasured, you are sacred, and you are His. You're beautiful.
Welcome to your place. Well, tonight we were going to bring you part three on our lesson on prayer, but we are still having technical issues with that one. So we're going to go back into our archives and pull out something on doctrine. And it's a very good lesson. And if you would like to, at the end of the show, press 1 on your phone and If you want to make a comment or ask a question, and I'll identify you by the last four digits of your phone number when I place you on the air. So with that, let's have a listen.
We are a New Testament church. What I mean by New Testament, we are the church that Jesus established on the day of Pentecost. When Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. We're a New Testament church. We are apostolic in doctrine. Apostolic means that we follow the apostles' doctrine. The men that Jesus poured 3.5 years of his ministry in. The apostles. We teach and preach and practice the apostles' doctrine. We are Pentecostal. We're apostolic in doctrine. And we are Pentecostal in the Pentecostal experience. The Bible teaches that on the day of Pentecost, the church was birthed with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So we are a Spirit-filled, apostolic in doctrine, Pentecostal in experience church here in Maryville. And I want to speak about that Pentecostal experience. In Joel chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 9. Scripture says that God spoke and said, whom shall he make? Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. You see, he said, if I'm going to teach you doctrine, if I'm going to teach you understanding and knowledge, it has to be those that are no longer infants in their belief. They have to be drawn from the breast. They have to be those that he can teach understanding. He said, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. He said, I'm going to teach you by precepts, by my laws. And he said, it's going to be precept upon precept, precept upon precept. In other words, all the word is going to fit together. It's going to be precept upon precept. And then he said, line upon line. And notice how he keeps repeating himself. Line upon line, line upon line. And then he says, here a little and there a little. You're going to come to this truth. You're going to come to maturity. You're going to understand doctrine by precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And then verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now he talks about a time that he's going to teach people doctrine, and that he's going to teach them understanding. And he said, you've got to be willing to have precept upon precept. You've got to be willing to see line upon line. You've got to be willing to receive truth here a little and there a little. And then he said, when all of that gets done, I'm going to speak to this people. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Then he goes on to say, and this is the refreshing. And this is the rest. But the only part of that that I'm determined not to agree, not to obey, is the part that says, but they would not hear. The Jewish people would not hear. But I am not answering for the Jewish people today. I'm answering for me. I have heard. I'm glad to have that stammering lip and another tongue. I'm glad to have God speaking to me through stammering lips and another tongue. And I'm so glad this Pentecostal experience of baptism with the Holy Ghost is the refreshing and it is the rest. Would you give God a hand of praise in the house of the Lord this morning? The prophet Joel joined in Joel chapter 2 in verse 28. Joel foretold of a day. And he said, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens of those days will I pour out of my spirit. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into the darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now Joel talks about a day when God's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. It didn't matter their age. He said it was going to be poured out on the old and it was going to be poured out on the young. It didn't matter what age group they were. And then he said on the servants and on the handmaidens. He got into whatever economic, whatever financial situation that you would be in, what kind of level financially you would be, whether you were poor or rich. God said it doesn't matter, because in that day I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh and they shall be affected. Jesus, in Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And he went on to say, in my name they shall speak with new tongues. Isaiah said, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. The prophet Joel said that God would pour his spirit out one day upon all flesh. I am so thankful today to stand upon the authority of the Word of God and continue to preach this great Pentecostal blessing, this great Pentecostal experience, this great Pentecostal experience that brings rest and brings refreshing. I'm glad to know that it wasn't just for those in the Bible, but it's still being poured out today, and it is still being experienced today. They gathered in Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Now, when these 120 believers of Jesus Christ gathered in an upper room under the command of Jesus himself, Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But before you do, don't you leave Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. And these 120 faithful disciples of Jesus gathered in that upper room. And there was a Jewish feast day called Pentecost that had come. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, Isaiah's prophecy came true. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, on Pentecost morning, Joel's prophecy came true. Isaiah prophesied of a time that God would teach them line on line and precept on precept. Isaiah spoke of a time that God would speak to his people through stammering lips and another tongue. Joel prophesied of a time when God would freely pour out his spirit upon all flesh. It would be upon the old, it would be upon the young, it would be upon the rich, and it would be upon the poor. And on that Pentecostal morning, the Bible said they were in one place and in one frame of mind, that there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they miraculously, under the anointing of God, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. To prove to you that Joel prophesied of this day, the Bible said that if this was noised abroad, because the Pentecostal experience is a noisy experience. It's an experience that produces the sound of another heavenly language inside of one's tongue. And accompanied with that is this tremendous joy of God that flows over. These 120 were filled with God's power and God's Spirit, and they were speaking in a heavenly language. The people passing by began to look through the windows, and they begin to look through the doors, and they begin to say, "What meaneth this? What is this all about? We've never seen this before. What is this all about?" And others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody had to explain it away? They had to. There's just people in the crowd that have to have an explanation. They just have to know what it's all about. They just wrote it off and said, "Oh, these are dead. They're just drunk. They're just drunk people. They got up early and bought some cheap wine, and they're just drunk. That's all that 120 people. They're just drunk there." But praise the Lord, the Apostle Peter, and by the way, he's the one that Jesus said, "Upon this rock, Peter, will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus did not build his church upon Peter. Jesus did not build his church upon a man. Jesus built his church upon the revelation that man had when that man said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's what the church is built on today. The church is not built on a man. The church is built on the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Oh, I'm glad for this Pentecostal experience. He said, "These men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day," 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, "Hey, mockers, these men are not drunk like you think they are. They're not drunk as you suppose, being but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." That happened 2,000 years ago. And I've got to sound an alarm. If the Spirit was poured out 2,000 years ago and it was called the last days, we must be living in the last of the last days. But I'm glad to thunder today with Pentecostal anointing and Pentecostal power and tell you that it's still available today. People can still receive the gift of the Holy Ghost today. God is still desiring to baptize people with His Spirit today. For a few moments this morning, I direct your attention to the first book of Peter, chapter number 3, and begin reading at verse number 18. "For Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." God bless you. You may be seated this morning. In a court of law, witnesses will be called to testify about information they have in reference to the case. A witness may only have a detail or so. Yet the attorney has built his case and gotten the verdict he wanted by using several witnesses, each with a fact of their own on the case. May I take this time on the telecast today, and I want to put water baptism in Jesus' name on trial here today. I want to put water baptism in Jesus' name on trial. The first witness I will call to testify today is none other than Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15, the witness Jesus Christ says, "And he saith unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Listen to the words of this witness as he tells us of the great importance and necessity of baptism. For Jesus says, "He that believeth," you only believe after you have heard the word. How can someone believe except they've heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? So when the witness says, "He that believeth," we know that this is someone that has heard the word. But just not only hearing, but is and is baptized. Would you note with me the connection of the word "and"? It reads, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Notice it does not read, "He that believeth is saved should be baptized." It reads, "He that believeth has heard the word," and not only heard the word, but become obedient. You have become obedient to the word, and baptism is nothing more than the obedient act of the believer to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I call my next witness. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for telling us the necessity of baptism, that baptism is a part of salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I call my next witness Matthew. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. Matthew says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. Amen." Now I want you to note with me the witness Matthew, that the witness Matthew mentions two things. He mentions that they are to baptize in the name. In the name, verse 19. Matthew says that baptism should be done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I would like for the witness to draw note to us today that he did not say name of the Father and name of the Son and name of the Holy Ghost. Simply put, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they are not names, but they are descriptive titles of one God, because God is the Father of all creation. And God became a man, which is the Son of redemption. And God is holy, and God is a spirit, and that makes God the Holy Ghost. But these are descriptive titles of one God. But this one God has one name. Notice it is baptized in the name, singular, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Because that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are the titles of one God, and this one God has manifested his name on earth, and that name is Jesus Christ. Now, please notice that he said that we were to observe all things that had been commanded. And just as a side note, I want to bring before you today that Jesus did not say, repeat these words. He did not say, repeat these words. For I could say to my son-in-law, Brother Chad Erickson, today, I could say, Brother Erickson, would you bring me my glass of water, please? I'm asking him to take action and do something. If I said, Brother Erickson, would you bring me my drink, my glass of water? If Brother Erickson was to say back to me, Brother Erickson, would you bring me my glass of water? Has he done what I've asked? No. He has only repeated what I have asked. He would not have done what I've asked until he would take this water and bring it over to me. And when he had brought the water over to me, then he would have done what I asked him to do. When Jesus said to the disciples that day that they were to go in all the world and preach the gospel and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, they understood what he said. They understood he wasn't saying, repeat after me. They understood what the name was. That's why nowhere in your Bible was anyone baptized using the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When the apostles, as a matter of fact, Matthew was there on the day of Pentecost. Matthew was one that received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. He was there in Acts 2 and 38 when Peter answered the crowd on what they should do about their terrible plight of murdering the Messiah. What shall we do? We're living in our sins. And Peter said unto them in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. If Peter was wrong, Matthew would have spoke up and said, wait a minute, Peter, you've got that wrong. Oh, no, he didn't have it wrong. Peter didn't have it wrong, and Matthew didn't write it wrong. They both knew that the Savior was asking for a name to be used at baptism. Where did it come from? History shows us that baptism was changed by the Roman Catholic Church in the 3rd and 4th century, and is widely accepted without question today in most denominations in the world. When you put baptism on trial, you show that there's several things about baptism that do not line up biblical baptism with the church world today. For example, being baptized to show that you're following Christ is not scriptural. Being baptized to show that you're joining a church is not scriptural. There was one purpose for water baptism. Water baptism was to typify a grave. That's why sprinkling was added later, and sprinkling is not a biblical form of baptism. Sprinkling was added, again, by the Roman Catholic Church as a form of convenience. But you see, baptism, it lost its true meaning because baptism was a type, according to Romans 6, it was a type of a grave. It was a type of identifying with Christ's death. As Christ was buried and laid in a tomb, we die out to our sins, and we are buried in a watery grave in the name of the one who died for us. You see, when someone dies, we don't just sprinkle a little dirt upon them. That's not adequate for burial. If something dies, we bury it. We put it out of sight. We bury it under the ground. We put it out of sight. So it is with our sins. When we die out to our old life, we bury that old life in a watery grave in the name of the one who died for us. Luke, thank you, Matthew. You may be seated. I now call Luke to the stand. Luke is a doctor. The Bible says in Luke 24:45, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. You see, Acts 2:38 lets us know when Peter said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. The word remission means removal. That's why in Acts 22:16, when Saul of Tarsus became Paul the apostle, and he was blinded by a light from heaven, and Ananias came down and laid his hands on him, and he was filled with the Spirit. The Bible says that Paul, Saul, was baptized calling upon, Acts 22:16, calling upon the name of the Lord, washing away our sins. Can I tell you today the true biblical meaning of water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is not to join a local church, or as honorable as it may be, to show that you're following Christ. But New Testament baptism is to be entered into by a repented believer who understands as they go down in that watery grave that all of their sins that they've ever committed are going to be removed by the great act of water baptism and God smiling upon them, because it's done in the name of the one who died for them. You see, as we close this courtroom session today, the jurors would come back unanimously as they read Acts 2, baptized in Jesus' name. As they read Acts 10, baptized in Jesus' name. As they read Acts 19, baptized in Jesus' name. As they read the epistles, letters written to the church, that whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. And then Peter, 1 Peter 3:21, would make it clear. Noah had to escape the world of sin. God had a plan. Build an ark, Noah, because the waters are going to come. And the waters of destruction that destroy are going to lift up the ark and save the ark. And it says, the like figure whereunto even baptism also doth now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Why should you be baptized in Jesus' name today? To give an answer of a good conscience. Because God's Word commands it, and He never commanded anything that's not good for you. So today, without fail, this great book I hold in my hand called the Bible settles the case of water baptism. It is to be administered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I rest my case.
Well, this was Brother Kenneth Carpenter in the First Church, First Apostolic Church in Maryville, Tennessee. Log Talk Mom.
Well, that was very interesting. In fact, I'm excited that it went that way, but we're going to finish the series on prayer also.
Not tonight. We had
technical difficulty.
Yes, okay. We are.
I don't know if they're actually listening, but I just closed the conversation, and this is so adorable, with a family, and the little boy was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, asking me profound questions that you would just, it was amazed on the oneness of God, the name of God. I mean, just the child. And we're praying for him to receive the Holy Ghost, and his mom's going to turn on the blog program. So what could have been more perfect than to hear that lesson on the baptism of the Holy Ghost? So I certainly hope they did. I hope they listened. sometimes just late at night, children can be, you know, distracted or need to get to bed for school. But I just thought, this is amazing that these children, you know, there's two of them, and Bryce and, I won't mention their names because people don't know, but Bryce and Braxton, and they were so beautiful as they were seeking, Braxton was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he's praying, his mom's praying, Bryce is, and this is just amazing to me how young children are reaching out right now. They want the Holy Ghost. They want, they don't understand, I mean, because here is this marvelous preacher preaching to how many thousands of denominations that still don't understand. You know, one of the largest, the Roman Catholic Church, totally does not believe that. And I think it's wonderful that children, this generation, there is a generation that's going to rise up, and they're going to, in fact, this little boy said, he told his mother, he said, I don't want to watch anything on television, or he mentioned the things that he didn't like. He had his own little way of describing it. He said he didn't want to see that. It was just amazing. I mean, it. So I'm excited. I'm encouraged that the seed that's been planted in his children is going to bring forth, and God's going to bring the increase. And we don't have to get upset. And I don't mean we do want to be. When we hear of evil and we hear of the things that are breaking God's laws, it doesn't mean that we won't be burdened and we'll feel a great deep concern, but we don't have to let it overwhelm us or let it be the thing that we are always meditating on, how wicked everything is, but yeah, how great our God is. And it just, this was perfect timing. I'm just amazed at how God does things. I had an experience this morning, and I don't know how. Sometimes you'll have a relationship with God in prayer, and you just think, oh, you want to tell everybody about it, but then when you try to tell it, it doesn't make sense because it's the anointing and everything. It's not quite the same for sure, but I was really disturbed about just a whole lot of things. My test that came back from the doctor, and my refrigerator went out, and, you know, nothing really all that big, but having a reaction to the medication, and we had a clean slate service, which was over the top. I think somebody, last I heard, there were 25 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I forget how many were baptized in Jesus' name. And the only part of it that didn't get recorded was me rapping. So I thought, I don't know, you know, how you'll get the thinking, which is not good for me. I should not think, just pray. And I had all this on my mind. It was just like a whirlwind or something. And it was really like God said, really? Just that one word. I don't know right now. I mean, like, is it really? I don't know. I laughed and laughed and laughed. And every time any worry or concern came up today or the thoughts came back, that the word was like from God saying, really? I mean, he's God. I mean, he is the creator of everything. He brought us out of darkness, established us in the light of his word. Oh, hallelujah. I am so excited. You love to hear from God. And someone's going to fix my refrigerator. They're not even going to charge me. And the Lord gave me enough sense to realize to get my hair dryer and melt down this tremendous backdrop of ice that was in it. That's right. It's just amazing. And two or three other miracles happened. Well, to have those young people call from another town and want to know about the Holy Ghost, and God is so wonderful, wonderful counselor. And another thing I did, I got to calm down because you probably got something else to say, but I didn't get this written down either. But, you know, I'm 81, and back when, in the day we were in church, we had a different style of music. It really wasn't country. I don't know what it was, but it was, we would, especially as the Lord was beginning to move, or it was worship atmosphere, and we'd start singing songs like, I've got it, something about the power of the Holy Ghost, oh, I can't explain it. Well, anyway, that's that part of it. And I started rapping. I wish I could say it now because it was so funny. The different parts would come to me, but it was like rap. So maybe the Lord will give it back to me and I'll write it down because it was really, really good. And I want to just say that I am so very deeply grateful that God would give me the rap. It opens every avenue that I would ever want to be able to talk about God and to share his word. And it just, God is so unique. He is awesome. He is mighty. He is our counselor, our comforter. He's deliverer. And now I'm going to be quiet for just a minute if you would like to say something, or Wild Bill.
I would. I would like to say an invitation to anyone who's listening. If you want to ask a question or make a comment, just push the 1 on your phone and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. Going once, going twice. Blog Talk Mom, you got it.
Well, they're just getting scared. You know how that is when we first started out. You want to say
yes,
something.
Yes, I
and
do.
You think,
yes.
What am I supposed to do? But I would love for, I know some are listening that I've talked to today, and I would love for them to comment. There was another song. I was pastor of church, and I love the song that I've got on the rap now. Can you help me think of what it was? It was just, anyway, I couldn't learn it. I was having a hard time, and I was sleeping at the church that night, and I went up to the piano, and I was playing, and I was trying to learn it, and I wrote it down. I have a very unusual way of playing anyway, and it was just like the Lord just, well, it was more like an angel or something, told another angel, she is never going to get it. And so then I got it my way, and I wrote it my way, and I loved it. And then we put it as a rap on one of the albums, and then today it was coming back to me in another form. I thought, this is a good song, but right now I'm overwhelmed with emotion, and I'm not really thinking all that clearly, but I am. I was reading my book. I'm doing an audio on the book while Bill had really encouraged me. I do thank you, Sister Starla and Wild Bill, for this program and for the encouragement and the prayers that you could do for me. I feel like I can come to you, and, you know, with all of the medication, the different things that's approaching due to the test, but that means a lot. And I advise anyone that would be listening anytime to the archives or whatever, find your church. Find you people that will love you and pray for you and join with you in the situations that we are all going through. And seemingly with COVID, it's magnified tremendously. And so I just got off on that particular train of thought, but I've been doing that book, so I was reading, I think it's the 9th chapter. We're doing 1 chapter at a time. And a gentleman in the church, he and his wife have encouraged me to do it. And they are recording it 1 chapter at a time. I record it and give it to them. They put it on a CD. No charge, just a ministry. It's just a beautiful thing how they've encouraged me. Particular chapter, it was talking about, you know, the book is called The Woolly Worm. And so I'm using so many of the different parts about the metamorphosis, about the fact that we are all every stage of this little woolly worm can illustrate a part in our lives. And I was just so blessed to remember where he brought me from, where the Lord brought me from, and how beautifully and kindly he took less than a worm. I mean, I just wept and cried as I read this chapter. It was just, I couldn't have been, I mean, but that's why God uses nature to teach us so many things. And I was just so much nothing. And then through Christ, the little woolly worm out of the caterpillar goes into the chrysalis. Everything, he goes in there, and then he becomes whatever, a butterfly, golden moth. And in that stage, he has total fellowship with what God designed him to be. He didn't make up what he would be. God designed that. And when I think about my age and how God will give me something that somehow it grants me favor with people. And when I went to the Clean Slate service and I looked at those from Teen Challenge and my father's house, all these recovery celebration type things that come once a year. And I realized, just like when I went to the Arctic and I was with the Inuit people, the Eskimo people, there was a bond, there was a connection that God put there. I didn't put it there. And it was there last night, or Sunday night, in such a beautiful way. And they just were so, one of the young men just, "We love you, Grandma." It was so precious. And I'm so fascinated. Anyway, this particular chapter is called Celebrate. And the little woolly worm is taken to this is the 44th annual celebration of the woolly worm. And through whatever they decide that he decides by his colors, they change the shapes and the shades, and that determines what kind of winter we're going to have. Well, they've proven it. You know, I know it's not science, but it works every year. And so anyway, they have this big festival, and this little worm is so celebrated. It is so amazing. It's on everything. But the point that made, what if the woolly worm thought he really was that? If that's what he got focused on and was allowed himself to get so absorbed with what they were saying about him, about the big race that they have using the little worms and the money and all of that. Wouldn't that be sad? Because that's not what it's all about. And it was like the Lord spoke to me. He said, "See, I told you, I don't want you to focus on what I've given you or what I've blessed you with. I want you to focus on what it can do, because he gave it to me to work through me to those that he would be placing in my path." And I hope I didn't mess that up too badly, because it explained and described exactly how I feel about why I didn't go to television program or any of those types of things. It was not about that. That's not what it's about. But what it is about, oh, wow. It is so wonderful. And I am so deeply grateful that God would place that there. And if people don't know what I'm talking about, I can understand that. But if they would like to know, they can go to YouTube to Lyrical Lively. And the one in red, the coat that I have on, has gone all over the world. And the best part of it is, what does the Word say? Can't beat that. What does the Word of God say about everything, even about the Word of God? That was such a beautiful illustration earlier, because he was speaking to Matthew, to Luke, you know, everybody, it's the Bible, and it's those called, and they all agreed. No problem at all. And so I will take another deep breath and see if Sister Starla or Wild Bill would like to say something.
Well, I don't think, well, Phil is going to be able to speak yet, but you can continue. Oh, we have Wild Bill.
Wow.
Hello, Wild Bill.
Well, hello. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful.
I'm sitting here at work and trying to get everything lined up to leave down here, but it's I really like the way this preacher went about showing the plan of salvation as it's laid out into the Word of God. And one of the things that we need to realize is that we don't get to make the rules like in a ball game or something. There's referees and umpires and whoever started the league. That's the people who established the rules of what it is that we're playing. And so God established his plan of what it was going to take for us to be able to make it to where we could be called one of his. You know, so many people say, well, all you got to do is believe. Well, if you believe, then you're going to obey. If you're hanging off the side of a cliff and you believe that I'm going to reach down my hand and grab hold of your hand and pull you up, then you got to let go of what you're hanging on to, and you got to grab hold of my hand. I can't do that for you. I can't make you let go, and I can't make you reach up to take my hand so I can pull you to safety. And it's the same thing with God. He's established a plan that he held his own self accountable to. I would have decided somewhere along the way that it didn't take blood as a covering for sin when it came to the part to where all of a sudden I was going to have to be the one that was going to have to decide, do I love these people enough that I'm going to pay the price so that they can be saved? Am I going to be the blood offering, the perfect lamb that's slain to be the salvation that they need so that they don't end up in eternity in hell? And that's what he did. As the Almighty God, he could have changed it and said, hey, we're going to amend this right here, and we're going to do this way or that way. So who are we as his creation to think that we can pick and choose scriptures through the Bible that does not fit the pattern that was even established in the Old Testament? If you look at big picture and you look at Old Testament, all the things were in place in the Old Testament tabernacle to represent what was going to happen in the New Testament. When you look in the New Testament, which that doesn't start Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that is, they were still living in Old Testament times. I know we call that New Testament, but those people were still living under the law. The birth of the New Testament church happened on the day of Pentecost. Every denomination pretty much claims that if they claim to be a Christian denomination, which blows my mind. How can they claim that that was the birth of the church? And then the very first message that was preached that day by Peter, they say, oh, that was just for then. That's not for now. And every example that's given of someone being saved, being born again, which that's all in the book of Acts, they all repented of their sins. They were baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of those sins. And they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. There is no other example of any kind given in the Bible of any other kind of salvation. And yet, there is no telling how many tens of thousands of doctors we have that totally leave that out as if it didn't happen. It's like it wasn't written. And so I want to encourage everyone to take and write down those scriptures yourself. Don't take that preacher at his word. If you're talking about something ahead, the Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So what it's telling you is you need to be invested enough and understand that you need to be very afraid, because I am going to judge you based on these things that I have established for you to be born again, to have remission of sin. That's what you're going to be judged by right there. And then the things we're going to be judged by is what we did in living our life, because when you first are born again, you're a babe. And just like with a baby that you're teaching to walk, you're not going to stand 50 feet away from them and say, come on over here, come to daddy, and just sit there and laugh when they fall on their face. No, God, he does the same thing with us. He gets 2 or 3 feet away, and he has his arms extended. He goes, come on, walk up to here. I got you. Come on, walk up to here. And then don't be surprised, because the process of living for God and where convictions come in is all of a sudden he comes back a little bit further. Okay, come on. You can walk a little bit further. I'm going to add to you here. Come on. I'm going to add to your faith. I'm going to add to your convictions. I'm going to change your consecration of what it is to live for me. It's a process now. I'm going to move back a little bit further. Come on, you can do it. And he's with us every step of the way. And when we fall, not if we fall, the Bible lets us know that he's faithful and just to forgive us for our trespasses and sins. So we need to understand that it's not just being born again that just automatically, oh, I'm in. No, it's a process. It's a relationship that's being built between you and God. And you can't do it any other way. The Bible says there's only one way. It says you got to be born of the water. He even warned you, verily, verily, I say unto you. I mean, hey, woo-hoo, pay attention. This is important. Better take notes. There's a test on this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. A lot of people try to say that part where it talks about water is talking about natural birth. Well, duh, we've already had that happen. So that wouldn't make sense. He's going to say, you got to be born or you can't make it to heaven. Duh. I mean, what kind of ignorance is that? Anyway, I'm thankful. I really believe that for some reason that the links didn't upload like they were supposed to, so this show could be played tonight for somebody. And because God loves you as an individual so much, and it could be the people that Blog Talk Mom was talking to earlier today, he wanted you to hear this message. And so he messed up what we tried to do so that we had just to fall back on, and this is what was brought to you tonight. And that's the kind of God we serve. He loves you that much, and he'll turn a radio program completely upside down to bring you something you need to hear, because he loves you that much, and he loves me that much. So that's all I have for you guys tonight, Starless. So I turn it back over to you.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Well, Bill, Blog Talk Mom.
Yeah, I really appreciate everything he said and the way that he said it. Because I know I was rambling 90 miles an hour every which way, and to get back to the message, because it is, it's not just life and death, it's eternal life, and that's very, there couldn't be a more important subject ever than exactly the plan that God brought out. I like what he said about sometimes we don't understand as we're moving forward, or, you know, there's times that we pray and someone goes ahead maybe and they pass away. You know, there's heartaches, but God is always there, like Wild Bill was the illustration he made. And I had heard at one time it, different ways, but it was a man that had fallen off of a large building, like 20 stories high, and he was praying and screaming out to God to help him, and about that time his clothes got caught on sort of like a flagpole, and it stopped his fall, and he told God, never mind now, you know, like, well, where did you think the flagpole, you know, we think if it doesn't happen exactly like we think it should, you know, then it's not really, that God's not really in it, because when someone does pass away, when our prayer does not happen to bring about a miracle in, you know, in our loved ones or whatever the situation, but God is God. And I believe with all my heart that if a person can be saved, if a person can be healed, God's not going to mess it up at all. He's got the plan in place, and he will comfort. He will be with us through every storm, and then he'll take the ashes of our life, and he said, make them beautiful. And today, again, I was reading the scripture where Jesus, the first time that his ministry, when it began, he stood in the temple, and he read those scriptures about the coming Messiah. And it was he came to heal the brokenhearted. And I just started just crying, you know, just thinking of, how many brokenhearted working in the areas that the Lord has drawn me to, you know. But he came to heal the brokenhearted. You know, that's what he's here. He's not here to hurt us or to trip us up or to make life miserable or play games in any way. He came, and Jesus told him, he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. That meant that he, number one, at that temple, professed openly and with all faith He was the Messiah. He was the one they had been praying for, and they did not recognize it. And this is what the same spirit that we see that Wild Bill alluded to then, of all the different denominations, it's so in the Word of God. But it is possible to look straight into the Word of God and not hear what God is saying. And Wild Bill just illustrated it beautifully. I won't reiterate that, but think about it and share the archive with people that are struggling over these kind of questions, because it's very specific. And even this little boy, as little as he was, and he wanted to know if Jesus, is Jesus God? And, you know, and I know one of the reasons, I think a family member may have brought some of these points out because maybe they're another denomination and don't believe it. But I remember one time I was in college, and this is probably or possibly not the best illustration, but I was doing this. I was part of a math class, and the Lord illuminated to me that 1 + 1 and 1 + 2 is 3. So if I've got 1 over here and I've got 1 over there and Jesus over here and the Holy Ghost over there, I'm adding up the gods, you know, if you think of it in that mindset. But it's not. It's 1 × 1 = 1. 1 × 1 × 1 is still 1. There's 1 God manifested as creator, redeemer, and he emanates all of his people with his actual spirit, and we become the temple of the living God. And one of these days, in the twinkling of an eye, he will catch his church out as his bride to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And with all my heart, Lord, help me to never get distracted, but to keep my eye on the prize and on my wonderful Savior. With all of my struggles this morning, I wasn't comparing it to him. I was comparing it to me. And then he said, really? In other words, how dumb can you get? But I don't, that's a, whatever. It was especially to me, and it certainly worked. God is so wonderful, and he has not lost one bit of his power. For God so loved the world. He could have just said, for God loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He didn't say would not, should not perish, but have everlasting life. He did not come to condemn us. Condemnation, the accuser of the brethren, all of these things are manifested from the spirit of darkness. But God brought light, and he brought conviction. And when you turn the light on, you see things. And then God gives you the power to clean it up and become break the chains and be free of all of the bondage that Satan has brought into the world in the darkness. There is a straight gate and there is a narrow way. And I want to be one that finds it and walks in it every moment. And I know you do too. So I don't really have that much. I guess so. I've talked for an hour, but Sister Starley, would you have something, or would someone like to press 1 on their phone and share with us your feelings?
No takers.
I'm going to have to get people to promise me ahead of time to we'll rehearse it or something. But I do know that feeling. For years, like 10, 12 years, I had that radio program, and at the point that I had to push the button and start talking, it's a whole different thing at that point. It really is. Yeah, because, you know, when you're talking to someone or, you know, in a group or whatever, it's a different stimulus than when you're just looking at your phone and trying to make conversation. But, I want to thank you for this. I believe God absolutely ordained I'm looking forward to the whole seven steps of the prayer for sure. I've used it this week as far as, you know, asking for help and then bowing before God. It's been very effective. And this was very, very on time today. So thank you again, and I will be quiet and see you next week.
Well, thank you so much, Blog Talk Mom and Wild Bill, for sharing with us. And we want to thank our listeners, and we pray that God would speak to you this week and give you divine revelation. And we'll be praying for you, and we'll see you back here next week.